Good morning. Today's verses are Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of by hundreds and by fifties, and taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples and to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. You may be seated.
Thank you, Clint. And thank you, worship team. It's good to see all of you back together again. Even Jerry Ware came out of retirement for us. So if you haven't turned there already, please go ahead and be turning to Mark chapter 6 in your Bibles or on your device. I've titled this message this morning, "Our Compassionate Shepherd." Our Compassionate Shepherd. This section of Mark is a very well-known part of Jesus' ministry, and also one of his very well-known miracles. It's actually recorded in all 4 of the Gospels, as we'll see later. And if you grew up in church at all, I'm sure that you remember hearing about this miracle in Sunday school. If you've ever seen a movie about Jesus' life, almost all of them include this miracle in it. One of the main truths we learn from it is that Jesus is a compassionate shepherd who cares for the needs of his sheep. And what an eternal and precious truth that is, no doubt. We can just rest on that truth for a very long time and be perfectly content with it. But I also guarantee you that there's much more going on in this section of Mark than maybe you had ever noticed on the surface. In addition to the main truths, this morning I hope to be able to mine some of the riches from this section, give those to you freely, and I hope that the Lord uses those to help you come to love Jesus more, to grow in your faith more, because there's more here than maybe you had seen before. Those truths, of course, are meant to help you love Jesus more and grow closer to him. So I'd like to pray before we get started that he does indeed do that with this truth this morning. So will you bow with me, please? Lord, we are thankful that we can meet here. We're thankful for your word, and I pray that you would show us just what a privilege it is to meet, Lord, as we will later on in the service be praying for the persecuted church. This is the day of prayer for the persecuted church. Lord, I pray, help us to see this wonderful privilege we have to meet without fear of persecution, death. We have your word in our own language, as we'll see the richness of that later on tonight as well, how it came to us in our own language. So what privileges we have. So Lord, I pray, help us take in deeply this morning the truth of Scripture. I pray that your Holy Spirit would apply it, impress it upon our hearts. Help us to love you more. And it's in Jesus' perfect name that we pray. Amen. What is a privilege for me to be here, of course, to be teaching you, continuing to teach you as your pastor this morning and every Sunday morning. So let's look at verse 30. Let's start there where our section begins. And it says, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him that all that they had done and taught. This is referring back to verse 7, as we saw a few weeks ago, when Jesus had given them authority to cast out demons and also to heal. So they report all of this to Jesus with excitement, with amazement, no doubt. Well, as their compassionate shepherd, Jesus would have been able to look at them and be able to see that his disciples looked tired. They probably also looked hungry, which is why we get verse 31. He says to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place. Rest for a while. For many were coming and going. They had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. This reminds me of one of my favorite parts of Psalm 23. You know that psalm. It's probably the most well-known of all 150 psalms. But as I've read Psalm 23 over the past couple of years, there's always been one verse that has stood out to me. You know, different times in your life, different portions of Scripture will jump out at you a bit more. Lately, the portion that's been jumping out to me more comes right after verse 1, where verse 1, of course, we learned that the Lord is our shepherd and he's going to meet all of our needs. Verse 2 is the one that's been jumping out at me more, where it starts by saying, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Sometimes the Lord sends us on a mission. As we just saw, the disciples were sent on one earlier. But other times, the Lord Jesus sees that we need rest. Jesus told the disciples, come away by yourselves, rest a while. Our shepherd, having lived in a human body, he knows what it's like to feel tired. He knows what it feels like to be worn out. He knows what it's like to be hungry. But in having a human body, Jesus also knows the tendency of the flesh towards two things. Number one, how the flesh loves to be pampered. And number two, how the flesh also loves to be lazy. Why am I pointing this out? Well, notice where Jesus calls them to. Number one, let's notice where Jesus calls them to. He doesn't call them to a beautiful countryside with breathtaking scenery, with luxurious buildings, and with beautiful gardens. Where does he call them to? He calls them actually to a desolate place. Now, when we hear the word desolate, how we understand desolate to mean right now, it's like a wasteland, right? Desolate here simply means quiet, simple, secluded. Isolated. Simple on purpose. Why? Jesus would be there with them. Their rest would come not from luxurious surroundings. Their rest would come as they focus on who is there, the Lord Jesus. Since the flesh loves to be pampered, Jesus made sure to keep their focus on what's most needful for them, and that's his presence. His presence refreshes the Christian like nothing else can, like no fleshly desires. Secondly, since the flesh longs to be lazy, notice the length of Jesus' prescribed rest that he says to them. Jesus says, come and rest for a while. Jesus rarely calls for long rests. There's kingdom work to be done. Jesus himself even said about his own ministry when he was here, John 9, 4, and 5, he said this, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night's coming when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Jesus was focused on the mission that the Father gave him to do, and he worked. Learn this quickly about your flesh. It wants to be lazy. You and I desire to do the least amount. We do. I feel it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I know you feel it too. Having a human body himself, Jesus knows when it's time to rest from the ministry. He also knows that sometimes less is more. He tells them, take a breath, eat, come get rest for a while, lie down in green pastures for a while. And the green pasture, of course, is like in Psalm 23, it represents nourishment for the sheep. That's what the green pasture represents. Lay down, rest, eat for a while. Then, let's get back to it. Look at verse 33. Now, many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of him. The disciples were probably thinking that they're about to get some alone time with Jesus. They're about to get a good amount of rest. And I suppose they did get some rest on the boat while they were going over there. But then all these people know where the boat is going to dock. There was probably a designated places for boats to dock. So they said, well, that's where they're going to go. We know that. Let's get there before them. And they do. If that happened to us, if that happened to you and me, the boss says, come away and rest. Let's just rest for a while. We're going over there. And then you see all these people, hundreds. We're actually going to learn that it ends up being thousands running to that spot. You might be thinking in your flesh, oh, come on. You people are so needy. Can we just get a break, please, just for a little bit? They're already waiting on us. Look. But spirit wars against the flesh. Jesus responds differently than they do. How does he respond? Look at verse 34. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. Yes. And he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Jesus has compassion on them. He pities them. You might remember we've talked about this before. The word compassion comes from two Latin words. Remember we talked about this? Com, which means with, and then pati, which means to suffer. So compassion means to suffer with. When you have compassion on someone, it's like you're putting yourself in their situation. You're suffering with them. You're having pity upon their low state. And Jesus has compassion when he sees these people. They're like sheep without a shepherd. After this portion, where it says he had compassion on them, Matthew's account of this text adds, and he healed their sick. Our text goes on to say, and he began to teach them many things. Luke's account tells us the content of his teaching. Luke tells us, and he spoke to them of the kingdom of God. The compassionate shepherd, our compassionate shepherd, gathers them in, heals the sick ones, teaches them all the good news of the kingdom. In doing so, this is really cool. In doing so, Jesus Christ is fulfilling so many prophecies about himself, especially this one from Ezekiel 34. What's going on in Ezekiel 34? In Ezekiel 34, God's complaint in that chapter is against all these false prophets and false teachers in that day that were taking advantage of the sheep, that were scattering the people of God by their wicked ways. Jesus, in contrast to that, of course, is the good shepherd. He steps in to fulfill this role. Look at Ezekiel 34, verses 11 and 12, and verse 15. It's on the screen behind me. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. Verse 15, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. As the compassionate shepherd, Jesus sees sheep in need of a shepherd, and he begins to meet that need. To his existing sheep, Jesus has already seen the need of his disciples. They needed rest. They needed time alone. They got a little bit. Now he sees other sheep who have many needs, and he meets those needs. Let's talk about those. So, number one, it says they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus gives them leadership. Number two, Matthew's account says, and he healed their sick. So healing is number two. Thirdly, he began to teach them many things, Luke tells us, about the kingdom of God. So the third thing, need that Jesus meets, is their need for the good news of the kingdom of God, their need for the gospel. So already, leadership, healing, truth. Those are needs that are being met already by Jesus Christ. And as the fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecy, of course, Jesus is God's shepherd of God's sheep. Jesus also fulfills the role of the better Moses. Hebrews has a whole section about how Jesus is better than Moses and fulfills the things of Moses, but there's even a wink at this. There's a clue here that Jesus is fulfilling something from the law of Moses that we find in Numbers. Look at Numbers 27, 15 through 17. It's behind me there. Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall lead them out, bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep that have no shepherd." Do you see that? He doesn't want the congregation to be as people that sheep that have no shepherd. What did our text say? He had compassion over them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. A good Jew would have been like, "Hey, wait a second. That's like Moses' prayer. Moses prayed that he would bring up somebody like that." And Jesus would have said, "You nailed it. That's me. That's me. I'm fulfilling the law here. The law points to me. The prophets point to me." So as you see, the scriptures point to Jesus. The law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Psalm 23 points to Jesus as well. Jesus is the better Moses, leading the sheep in deserted places, like Moses led the people through the desert. Jesus is the compassionate shepherd, gathering in the sheep, caring for them, as opposed to the false teachers that abused them and scattered them. And then thirdly, Jesus is also the shepherd of Psalm 23, leading them in paths of righteousness, making them lie down in green pastures. Look at verse 35. "And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages, and buy themselves something to eat.'" Now, whether this was motivated by a desire to just be away from these people, or whether it was motivated by genuine, real, true concern for these people and their needs, we don't know. But the people are asked. I mean, they ask that the people be sent away and go find lodging, Luke adds to this, and food. Well, always the perfect teacher, knowing when there's a teaching moment, also knowing when his people need more truth, more revelation of his character, Jesus answers them in this way, a very strange way. Look at verse 37. "You give them something to eat." "And they said to him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?'" John's gospel tells us that it was Philip. Philip's the one who came up with that calculation of 200 denarii. As you may recall, a denarius, singular, was a day's wage for a day laborer. It was usually one silver coin. That's what a day laborer could expect to earn in one day. 200 denarii, Philip says in John, would only be enough to get everyone just a little bit, he says. The average U.S. income right now, average, is $40,000. $40,000 earned in 365 days, okay? 200 days is what they recommend, 200 days wage. 200 days is 55% of 365 days, okay? So 55% of $40,000 is $22,000 in our day. This is how much money, Philip's saying, it would cost this much, this amount worth of money to feed all these people. So, not a little bit. Imagine you told your friend, it's going to take us $22,000 to do what he's proposing needs to be done for the ministry, let's say. Your friend says, hey, you know, give this to these people. And you said, it's going to take $22,000 to do that. Then imagine your friend looks at you and says, okay, rubs his chin and says, how much money do you have in your pocket? Well, not $22,000, friend, but that's what Jesus basically does here. Look in verse 38. And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. They might have been thinking, yes, Lord, as they walked away, does he really think we have $22,000 worth of bread here? I don't know what he's talking about, but he's the master, so let's go obey him, which was good on their part. Let's not be like Peter, who was in the practice of telling the Lord no. Remember, he says, no, Lord, this will never happen to you. Let's not be like Peter. So Andrew, we're told in John's gospel, is the one who comes back, Simon Peter's brother, and says, and this is John 6:9, there's a boy here that has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many? At this point, the disciples should have remembered the scriptures, had faith in what was written, and then applied that to Jesus. They should have said, Lord, surely you, being better than all the prophets, could do something. Because the greatest prophet, Elijah, he once went to a widow, and she told him, I only have enough flour and oil left to make 1 cake of bread for me and my son, then we're going to eat it and die, because there was a huge famine. Remember that? She told him basically, this is the last that we have, and I was just planning on making it, and that was being our last meal, and then we're just going to sit here and starve to death. But Lord, remember Elijah told her, you make me some bread first and bring it to me. And then she did, remember, Lord? And then remember what God did for her, Lord? Jesus, remember what he did? He made it so that her flour and her oil never ran out until the famine was over. Surely, Lord, surely you, as greater than the prophets, you could do something here. Or they could have even said, Lord, Moses prayed, and God sent bread from heaven for 40 years that just showed up on the ground every morning. Surely, Lord, you're greater than Moses. We've seen you have authority over nature, over demons, over sickness, and even over death. You just raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Surely, you could do something here. But they don't do that. They're a lot like you and I. We forget what God has done. We even forget what God has done in our own lives, what we've seen him do in our own lives. I'm ashamed of myself sometimes. We were missionaries for over 5 years in Central America. Faith-based mission. This is not the IMB where you get a paycheck. This is you just pray and pray that God brings money in. and he kept us on the mission field for 5.5 years. We didn't leave, though, because we didn't have enough. We left because we felt strongly that it was time for us to come back. 5.5 years the Lord provided for us, miraculously, every month. We never went without. We always had enough. Some months were pretty lean, but we never had to say to the children, sorry, kiddos, we're not going to have any food today. That never happened. The Lord always met our needs. He met our needs before that in miraculous ways as well. And he's met our needs after that in miraculous ways as well. But you know what I still sometimes do? When finances are getting tight, you know what I sometimes do? Stress out and think, what are we going to do? I wish I had an alternate version of myself that was way more holy than me, lived with me, and would just occasionally slap me with a holy slap and say, you fool, don't you remember? And as I'm rubbing my face, I'd say, oh yeah, thank you for that. The disciples needed a holy slap from just what happened a few days before that. They needed their own selves from a few days ago to say, he just raised a girl from the dead. But they don't do that. And we don't do that. Have you read this book? I mean, have you read it? Have you seen what God is like and what God can do and what he has done for you and me? And we worry and we fret and we doubt and we think, I just don't know what we're going to do. Well, that's almost one good place to be. It's not about what you can do. It's about what God can do. But the disciples didn't do that. They had fears. They had doubts. They lacked faith, even though Jesus had done so many things to bolster their faith, silence their doubts. But again, Jesus shows compassion. And uses this as a teachable moment. Look at verses 39 through 42. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by the hundreds and fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves, gave them to the disciples to sit before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. As the compassionate shepherd, Jesus is now also meeting their physical need for food. Taking the bread and the fish in his hands, Jesus would have prayed, more than likely, the traditional Hebrew prayer as he held the bread up. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And he would have broke it and distributed it and then did it again and again and again. Like Moses prayed and God sent manna from heaven to feed the multitude of Israel, Jesus prays and God feeds the multitude of followers. They ate and were satisfied. Ezekiel 34, 14. We don't have a slide for this. Let me just read it to you. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. They ate their fill, we're told. They ate their fill, and they were satisfied. There was even some left over. Look at verse 43. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. The 12 baskets, just like the 12 disciples, is supposed to cause us to remember the 12 tribes of Israel. Again, showing that these 12 men would be very important for their future role of caring for the New Testament Israel, the church, us. The fact that they're now holding, each disciple is now holding his own basket of bread, one for each of them, essentially, is very symbolic that these 12 men are going to be the ones that feed the New Testament church. They're the ones that have now received something miraculously from the Lord Jesus, And they're in charge after this to take care. And Jesus does that. Look at verse 44. Those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Mark doesn't use the word here for human beings. There is a word in Greek for human beings. It's the word anthropos. It can mean man, mankind, human, or humankind. He doesn't use that word. Mark uses another word, which is andres, which is the plural masculine form of the word aner, which is man, like man, as opposed to woman. So he's really trying to tell us that it was 5,000 men. Now, thank the Lord, we don't have to know Greek to see this distinction, because Matthew adds this, and those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Matthew actually says that. Why am I bringing this up? Well, you know. This is probably not new to anyone sitting in this room. But Jesus would have actually fed about 10 to 12,000 people that day. 10 to 12,000 people. What miraculous compassion in a miraculous way for the basic needs people. You know, compassionate shepherd, even concerned for our most basic needs, food. Mark has shown us in this section, and we're almost done, that our compassionate shepherd is concerned about five areas in our life. These aren't the only areas in our life that he's concerned about. But in this section, we see five different areas that the Lord Jesus is concerned about. And here they are. Rest. We saw that in verse 31 for the 12. Come aside and rest a while. Healing. Matthew 14:14 adds to this portion, and he healed their sick. Number three, leadership. Because it says he looked upon them with compassion because they were as sheep without a shepherd. They had no leader. They were just wandering around, no one to lead them. A shepherd also protects too. Number four, gospel knowledge, because it says, and he began to teach them. Luke tells us that that teaching's content was about the kingdom of God. He would have shared the good news with them so that they could be saved. He's not just interested in feeding their bodies. He wants their souls saved. And no one gets saved without hearing the gospel. No one. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. And then lastly, we see he's concerned for the most basic needs as well. Food. We found that in verse 42. Seeing all the connections this section has with Old Testament scripture, as I showed you, and I hope that was maybe something you had not seen before, because it's always wonderful to get more riches from the truth of the Word of God, shows us that this section of Scripture was never, ever meant to be a standalone part of the Bible. There were things long ago setting it up that now it can point back to. The law, the prophets, and the Psalms have always pointed to Jesus. The disciples and other followers of Jesus, of course, should have been connecting these dots already, and so should we. You probably remember after Jesus' resurrection, when he appeared in the room with the followers, they were astonished, they were shocked, some of them even doubted. Right after that, Luke's gospel tells us that Jesus said this to them. Look at Luke 24, verses 44 and 45. This is key. Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Isn't that cool? He said to them, this is already written of me in the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Where do we see the connections this morning of Jesus being this compassionate shepherd. I think we saw in the Law and the Prophets and the Psalms, this is just one place. That was just one time that those three witnesses pointed and said, that's who we're talking about, by the way. We're talking about him. That's just one time. Many different places. Those three witnesses point to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer to Moses' prayer that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep without a shepherd. Jesus is the answer to that. He's also the good shepherd of Ezekiel, who's opposite to the false shepherds that scatter the people of God. And of course, Jesus is the fulfillment of Psalm 23. I want to ask you this morning, I want to say to you this morning, as someone who truly cares about you, okay, I don't get more brownie points with God if you do this or if you don't do it. But of course, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I am here to urge you, if you've not repented of your sins and put your faith and trust in your good shepherd, the one who's the shepherd of your soul, who will guide you in right paths, I encourage you, do that this morning. He made the way straight for you. He died in your place, taking the punishment for sinners that you deserve. We all know, if we're honest with ourselves, that we deserve punishment for our sins. But he willingly took it and died and rose again the third day, securing it and procuring it for all of his people. That's good news. If you're already a follower of Jesus Christ, listen to me now. You've got a compassionate shepherd that's concerned about your every need, every single one of them. The most grand need you've got, even to the most basic. You having lunch later, he's concerned about that. And more than likely, that's already taken care of for most of us. I doubt any of you are sitting there saying, I have no clue what I'm going to eat in an hour. Not a clue. I hope somebody has dropped some food on the road somewhere. No. He's already cared for your needs probably months out, hasn't he? Remember the scriptures, and by faith, apply the truths of God when you pray. Remember the scriptures, and apply the truths of God when you pray. The disciples would have been in a much better place had they done that, had they said, Lord, surely, just like we read, we can do that. God encourages us to do that. This morning, marvel with me at this, and thank God that the Lord sent us a compassionate shepherd. He cares for you so much. And thank God for Jesus Christ. Amen? Will you bow with me? Lord, we're grateful for these truths that we see here. They are magnificent and extremely encouraging. And I pray that you would please impress them upon our hearts. Thank you that you were the fulfillment of the Law, the Prophets, the Psalms. Thank you that you showed us one more portion in Scripture where you are that fulfillment. I pray, Lord, of course, that you would be helping us. Help us, Lord, to be disciplined people, to be in the Word more, feeding our souls. Give us grace to want to even do that. We go with our greatest wants. So I pray that you would increase our want to read and pray and be close to you. You've done everything to be close to us. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.